KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, ESPN 97.5.
That's what we call ourselves, sort of like a team.
A Gao Media Station. Is the bench. The bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Astros and Rays tied at one as we start the bottom of the sixth. Short Springer leads it off against Nathan Eovaldi.
This ball is driven deep to left center field. George Springer all the way back and gone. Astros lead this game 2-1.
Didn't fool him on that one.
0-2 pitch. Springer hits his team-leading 15th home run of the year. Here's Alex Bregman. Bregman drives one to left field. This ball is going to be gone. Back-to-back jacks. Springer and Bregman. And the Astros lead 3-1.
Well, this game has certainly turned, and now that's the 31st consecutive game in which Bregman has reached base.
This ball's crushed. 3-0. Another one on the train tracks. For the second time tonight, train 27 has just left Union Station. It's been more than 10 years since the Astros have been back-to-back-to-back home runs, and they've done so tonight for a 4-1 lead.
We're Texas proud, and we shout it loud.
Courtesy AT&T Sportsnet Southwest or something like that, whatever that is. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. That's how we're starting it because Alex Bregman started it. He started it first. There's no question about it. Did he tweet that or put it on Instagram?
He put it on his Instagram story.
Yeah, his Instagram story.
Just getting some, what did he say? Just getting some study in or something like that. He had something.
That is so Bregman. Alex Bregman. Nathan Eovaldi starts today, and the Astros went back-to-back-to-back off of him for the first time in 10 years, apparently. And now he's going to start today, 4:09 at Minute Maid Park. And I don't know. Does this give bulletin board material in an American League Championship Series? I don't know. Are they going to play harder now? Are they going to try more now because Alex Bregman put that up on Instagram? Are they going to want to get Bregman out more now? I'm pretty sure. But are they going to throw a different pitch? They're going to throw it harder. Are they going to hit him? They might hit him. I don't know.
Yeah, he could get hit again.
He could get hit. But if they do, then he gets on base. You know, he doesn't have a hit in this series, but he's been on base what, 6 times?
He didn't like getting hit that second time. I think he thought it, and you know, the catcher jumped up and got him between like.
Yeah.
There was a little tension after the second one because you can always tell when baseball players think something might be intentional.
Yeah, but he afterwards said, you know what? It was just a reaction of getting hit. He said, in that situation, he ain't hitting me.
I have a hard time believing anyone is hitting anybody in tight situations in the playoffs.
Yeah. No.
The Astros are too dangerous.
Yeah, no way. He's been walked 6 times in this series, and he got hit by a pitch as well. And yet he is 0-3 right now. And he doesn't have a hit in the series. And yet he's been on base 7 times, right?
Yeah, I'm watching his Instagram story right here. And he's just, it just says, Bregman's Instagram story right now is a video of the Astros going back to back to back dingers off of Eovaldi in June. And, and it just shows him on an iPhone. Oh, no. Is it an iPhone? No. I'm not sure how. Yeah. He's just watching on an iPhone. Alex Bregman is just taping himself watching on an iPhone.
He's doing his studying.
Yeah, he's got someone else's iPhone.
Yeah.
In panoramic view. Mm-hmm. And then he's just studying with his phone. He's just recording it.
It has since been deleted. And so, you know, but it's out there.
Well,
it's
a story.
It's a story on ESPN today. Everybody knows it. The Red Sox know it.
Cespedes Family Barbecue is the Twitter account that recorded it off a computer screen so you can see it.
And then put it out there. So you know, okay, so which is worse? Because Bill O'Brien was asked about this yesterday. Jadeveon Clowney calling Blake Bortles trash.
He didn't like that.
No, he didn't like that at all. Or do you, who's more pissed? AJ at Bregman?
Nope.
Or Bill O'Brien?
Not even close. Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien went out of his way. Hey, we've got a lot of respect. You know, we don't think that's true at all about Blake Bortles. We don't believe that at all. You read his comments or listen to his comments. I think we actually have the audio. He went out of his way to not only apologize, but say, we don't think that. We don't think that at all. Well, we don't think that at all.
Well, we don't know what AJ's going to say about this, though. AJ's probably going to go, that ain't great. That ain't great.
He ain't going to say it publicly.
He might, before the game, he's going to go, he might go, yeah, I'm not for that, but... You know,
he might, but I can tell you it won't be anything like Bill O'Brien.
Well, I heard you on with on your afternoon show.
Yeah, on my the number one show. Me,
I also saw the new promo,
the new picture. Thanks, Dustin.
Yeah,
I wanted a cool.
Why you got the Cowboys hat on in this picture with you and Fred?
We had
Fred
hats and AJ. On the draft day,
no,
too.
No, that's not true. You just wear that hat.
Who did the best draft? And I was like, God, dog it. And I'm looking for anybody. And I ended up having to go with cowboy hat, which, by the way, was tiny. It's like a 7. And it's like sitting on the top of my head. I've got my glasses on. I look like some old man in a rocking chair. But yeah, that's a picture that won't die.
Yeah, that picture won't die, and it's you between. Look at, have you seen the new promo?
Yeah,
the Del's new poster.
Del's seen it.
Yeah, Del's seen it. That doesn't look like Fred because Fred looks different in this on these big. Happened to him, Del?
I don't know.
They're gone. Somebody destroyed him. But Fred's eyes look
AJ's
different.
AJ's lost 15 pounds in 2 weeks.
He has. He's doing
on Whole 30. That's hard.
Yeah.
All sugar gone. All dairy gone. Basically, everything good is gone.
My question
is, your body just goes
when you eat a when you eat a piece of bread, then it all comes back.
It's your body's. You have to be real careful when you reintroduce. I know someone who gained 15 pounds. Basically, it's just like your body's right now just storing every carb it can get. Like this is it. We're dying. We're dying right now. Right. We're in the middle of a cold snap, and we're in Montana.
I never thought that was good for your heart. I tried the no-carb thing before, and I was like, man, my heart is hurting. This is not good.
It's not supposed to hurt your
heart. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I don't think there's any connection. You know, it's bad for your heart, back-to-back-to-back home runs. That's bad for your heart.
Yeah.
I'd worry about Alex Cora.
So do you think that they will pitch to – and, Del, maybe you can find Bill O'Brien about Blake Bortles, the Jadeveon Clowney. Do you think now this will make them pitch to Bregman as opposed to walk him all the time?
No. He gets hit or walked or no. They're not getting beat by Alex Bregman.
That's so funny.
That is so funny.
That
smart.
Little dude after just a 2 years, this little dude is like now, you can't pitch to him.
You can get screwed over by Yuli. Yuli has a long history of since he's been in the majors, like 3 years. Of getting base knocks in critical situations. He's one of the best in baseball since he's been in the league. And he's got one, you know, was a couple ribs, right?
Yeah. Well, he had the 3-run homer.
Oh, yeah. It was the 3-run homer. So, I mean, you know, you mess around with Yuli, you're going to get what you get. But I think right now people are like, you know, let's take our shot with Yuli than throwing Bregman a hitter's pitch. Mm. Now, Kimbrel threw a hitter's pitch.
AJ addressed the Bregman problem. Instagram post had zero problem with it. Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised you thought he would.
Yeah.
AJ's publicly, for sure, if he has it, he keeps it in-house. Because Bregg's his dude, man. That's his guy. He's not going to. And that's what makes him him. You don't want to.
Yeah.
It wasn't disspectful. He had a 3-run
homer.
Well,
it's a little disrespectful.
Well, maybe a little, but he did hit. They did go back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah. I heard you on your show, your afternoon show.
Yeah, our show, yep.
And you were talking about AJ and how he's maybe your favorite. And I would have to agree with
manager of
any team.
Yep.
He's so pro player and level headed and never gets flustered. Even in the worst of times, he doesn't, you know, snap at the media or
never. He doesn't have a lot of worst of times, but yeah, I mean, every baseball manager has frustrating times in the season.
Well, yeah, I mean, they lost 6 in a row or whatever they did.
2016 was not a great year relative to their expectations. No. But AJ, now you'll see him get a little fired up about things, but he never, You never see him lose control.
No.
Ever. And I always laugh at when people get, you know, we need a man. Remember, it was always this with Gary Kubiak and with Cecil Cooper and Brad Mill. Need somebody who's going to throw some trash cans around and kick things and freak out and flip. And then you get Bill O'Brien like, he needs to calm down. He needs, I don't like what he's saying about people doing their jobs. And you're never going to make fans happy. Whatever your manager or your coach is, they want the opposite. They want the opposite. Bill O'Brien is too much out there. And then the other guys don't do it enough. I think when he needs to, he gets pissed. He will argue with umps. He's been kicked out of games. The only issue I ever had, ever with A.J. Hinch, ever, was when I didn't think that the Astros as a team, I didn't think they responded well to all their top players getting hit. I had a big problem with that. You're sitting there dinging Springer and all these guys. Like, at some point, you got to raise some hell, and somebody's got to get dotted.
Well, we can talk about that.
That was like 3 years ago.
Bottom of the hour. We can talk about that. We can continue this conversation. And we do have sound from, hey, you were right. AJ doesn't give a rat's ass about this. So we will do that next. Next is Jimbo Fisher. We're going to talk Texas A&M football right here on ESPN 97.5. Tell your Aggie friends that it's time to listen right here to the head coach who joins us every week. Right now, though, let's talk about Champion Energy. Being a champion is so easy. We were talking about this yesterday. What was it? Farm to outlet market. And yesterday, with all the lightning, do you know how much they were able to capture over Champion Energy? How much electricity? They've got a surplus now, and they probably got a sale right now on electricity because all the electricity in the air yesterday. So, I mean, they've got a lot. They're probably on sale right now with their electricity. So we need you to get there and take advantage of this giant wholesale prices now, because they're a wholesaler in a retail store, getting you the electricity, making the electricity, and then getting it to you right now at 1560energy.com. Please, all right? They won't run out, but right now they got a surplus, and they got a great price at 1560energy.com.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Working on Jimbo Fisher. We apologize. He's taking a bye this week, so maybe we'll... I talked to their guy yesterday, Alan Cannon, though, and they said, we're going to have him on this week, but apparently having some issues. Maybe Jimbo's sleeping in, and Jimbo deserves it to sleep in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't you think so, a bye week?
Well, and they got another... No, they didn't get a win.
Who didn't?
Wait.
They beat South Carolina.
No, the Aggies won by three. I'm just thinking my personal... I'm like, wait.
What?
Oh, they did win.
Well, and
they actually got a push.
That's what I said to Major. I was like, hey.
Sometimes it's hard for me to, like,
Did they win? I don't feel like they won. But I don't feel like they lost. Oh, that's right. They pushed.
They kind of won, but not the kind of I like. Not the way I like them to win.
They pushed.
Well, at least they didn't lose.
This is now. These are games Aggies don't win in the past. It's back to back.
No, right.
South Carolina on the road.
Yes.
Kentucky
comes in. This is exactly the game they don't
win. In overtime. They're winning games that they don't win in the past. And
the Kentucky game was a game that they probably wouldn't have won either.
You know, they're really battle tested now. You think about it. They had Clemson down to the wire. Alabama, they gave Alabama the best game Alabama's had all year. And they lost by 22 or whatever it was. Cover. Then they've taken on Kentucky, went to overtime.
20, because 26 was the line.
Yeah. Then they had a late touchdown.
Oh, they covered. But, No, Aggies covered.
Yeah. That's a win.
Right.
And win and cover is what you call that.
Does anybody else cover it against Alabama? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Oh, yeah, Arkansas did.
Oh, yeah. That was a stupid line.
Well, Arkansas did. Well,
what was it, 49?
No, it's because they let off the gas in the second half, too.
Well, is he still throwing a pass yet in the fourth quarter?
No, he hasn't taken a snap.
No.
Tua hasn't taken a snap in the fourth quarter. Scott Van Pelt interviewed him last night at the halftime of the Green Bay game. Like, what does it feel like, you know, at some point in some point, either in Georgia or in the playoffs? Basically, Van Pelt went all the way to the SEC championship game or playoffs. He said, you're going to have to take a snap in the fourth quarter. How do you replicate that when you're not even doing it in games? And he just talked about preparation and practice, all this crap. But anyway, Jimbo, I mean, the Aggies are pretty battle-tested. The Kentucky game overtime, the South Carolina road win. You look at, obviously, Clemson and Alabama. I mean, there's really nothing else you can hit them with that they haven't. They have been tested. There's been nothing easy about what they've done. And that's big to win those games. That you got to have a little something extra. And that was, you know, Kevin Sumlin, a thing that would crush him is that his teams just didn't show up in those close and late situations. Yep. And especially in November. So Jimbo still got to win in November. But that's a good start for the Aggies. I mean, Texas, you know, my brother-in-law, my wife's cousin Dan, father-in-law, I got a couple friends of mine who are also Longhorns. You talk about where they are in the polls. They're up, what are they right now, seven?
Seven.
I mean, they're at seven. No Longhorns think they should be at seven. No Longhorn fans who have watched this team look at that. They'll all say, oh, this doesn't feel. My brother-in-law was like, when they were 14, he said, this feels high. I mean, 9 feels ridiculous. 14 feels high. And that was just last week. Now they're at 7. And that was after just hanging on against Baylor. You know, the coaches and the writers' polls are very different for Texas. But you just hung on at home against Baylor, and your quarterback has a sprained AC joint. I think a lot of Texas fans don't believe that Texas should be rated there. But, you know, you win, you take care, and then you let things fall where they may. Joining us right now is the head coach of Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher. And, Coach, we were just talking about how your team has been uniquely battle-tested through just past the halfway point of the season with Clemson, with Alabama. You guys gave Alabama, I guess, their best game of the year. You took Clemson down to the wire. An overtime scrap with Kentucky. You went on the road against South Carolina and came away with a field goal win. I mean, that's the difference. People talk about how, you know, hard or easy it is to win. There's a lot of games that go the other way on teams, and you guys, especially over the last 2 weeks, have been able to get them in your favor. Can you talk about how important that is to be battle-tested but come out on the right side of that?
Well, you got to learn how to play in critical situations, and I think that's where – I was frustrated early. We're getting better at that. We got to still learn to put teams away and how we're doing things. But in this league, you know, I know Alabama right now is an exception because they're playing so well and they're having, you know, they're all, everything's all tied together. But even in the great years they've had, you go look in this league, you got to learn to win the fourth quarter. You got to learn to win one and two possession games. You got to learn to score in critical moments. You got to learn to take the air out of the ball, and you have to get critical stops on defense. And that's just the way this league is played. And you have to be mentally tough to get there. Now, we're still, you know, progress and work, and we're getting better, but we're understanding how to seize those moments. And like I said in this game the other day, you know, all of a sudden we're up 16-0, really could be up 24-0, 30, you know, 27-0, but you know, it is what it is. They score, and we're 80,000 people on the road, just got hit in the mouth with two straight drives to tie it 16-16. All we do is go out and take a big drive and kick a field goal, go out and get a stop on defense, and then take about a seven-minute drive and put a touchdown away and basically put the game away until we gave up something at the end with three critical 15-yard penalties in a two-minute drive. But, you know, understanding that moment and not flinching and executing at the biggest moments, that's something that we can build on and grow on.
And Kellen is he just looks so poised, Coach. Can you talk about where he was when you got here and where he is now?
Well, I mean, just his understanding of the game. I don't mean that from any that he wasn't coached before, but when you're young, you're just trying to get the snap, figure out where half things are going. And, you know, now he's really making precise decisions. Like, for instance, Courtney caught nine balls in the game. Probably four or five of those balls were backside forcing decisions that he saw the right look and the right situation he went to. The big one was when we were second and 10 down there on about the 25 or 30, and he was a complete backside read as a fourth option, but saw the leverage that was matched on him, and he had man coverage, and he liked the matchup. He directly goes to it as his primary guy. So, I mean, from those choices and understanding how to attack matchups, under attack certain coverages, you know, how he used Jason in the middle of the field a couple times, I mean, just really has grown in understanding why he's going places with the ball. And now he's relaxing, got his footwork down, his balance is good, and he's you know, being much more accurate with the ball so we can run with it.
We got Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5, your home for Texas A&M football. And you got something a lot of teams don't have, Coach, a punter who causes fumbles.
Oh, it's critical. And then I know it's old school. The field position game. I mean, you know, teams are having to drive continually 75, 80, 85, 90 yards because of his punting and field position. And it goes into play calling, how you do things and where you take risks at and how your defense is playing. And one thing I think we are doing a decent job of right now, we're learning how to play each other on either side of the ball and to play as a team, because we have to win, and special teams has been a big part of it. And then having Steph come back and be able to hit those four field goals, you know, after, you know, he struggled a couple of weeks. Not bad. Like I say, he's hit the upright. And that's for a young guy. But he was critical in the game. But Braden Mann is it. And then he goes out and causes a fumble. I guess we'll have himself popcorn at halftime next week.
Yeah. That's when you got a punter who can put on big hits, that's a big plus for a coach.
You know, Coach, yeah. I want to talk for a second about Travion, because he's taken on a much heavier role this year. When you look at, he is the primary ball carrier. He's hit 19 or more carries in five of his games over the last three. He's gone 29, 24, and 19. You know, you guys, I think you ask him to put on more weight. He said he felt great when we talked to him before the season. He was bigger. He was up at around 206, I want to say 207.
Yep.
And he just said he wanted to get ready for a more physical brand of football, since you guys are going to be running a little inside, outside zone. He'll be running in between the tackles. Can you talk about his willingness or his ability to take on a bigger chunk and what that means?
Just knowing that you got a guy back there that wants the ball, critical situations, runs hard. Like I said, that was hard sledding in that game. They were determined they were going to stop the run early in the game. That's another thing. There's about three runs, as you look at, late, Lance. If we miss some backside cuts,
yep.
If we don't, the ball's out for big, big games. But we kept staying with it, and eventually they broke down because we had 41 minutes of possession time. They finally, you know, we wore them down a little bit. But the ability for him to know he's going to take it up in there, do it, and then the role he's taken in the passing game. He's catching three to four, five. You know, last week he had six catches against Kentucky. You know, you can put him out there and do that. And the other guy that I'm proud of, I don't mean to get off Travion. Travion in pass blocking, and we're putting – the guy's really growing, too. I think he's got a chance to have a tremendous future as Deshaun. I mean, Deshaun's going to be one heck of a back, I think. And you see it every week, and he's getting the ball, and he's getting more touches. And we got to keep building him so we can keep pressure off Travion, you know, early in the game if we have to. Because Travion ran so good and so hard that last drive and those critical drives. That was 78 hard, tough yards in which he made the other night, but they were all very critical.
You know, but a lot of guys will tell you, a lot of running backs will tell you, Coach, I need my touches. So how do you split that up?
Well, you got to, because the team, and he understands that, because there's even situations in the game, we're putting them both in the game now, what we call pony situations, and he'll say, Trey, you know, Jay, Sean, you run, let me block, I know the scheme's better, just helping him out. It doesn't matter. He that's not Travion. Travion wants to win and be successful, and he's learned, you know, he's pass blocking good, he's learned to be a complete back, and I think he sees that too, because, you know, when you're playing in the league at the next level, you've got to be able to be all three now. And those guys, because of the way the game's being played, and those guys that can be on the field for three down instead of one or two, are a lot more critical and a lot more valuable to have.
And then there was Jace Sternberger.
Yep.
and carrying dudes down the field with him, getting more. How, okay, as a coach, and you see a team that's got a tight end, I'm not comparing them to Gronk, but, you know, when you got a tight end that is contributing, like Jace is contributing, how much more difficult is it for the defense to match up?
Well, when you can get a guy with verticality in the middle of the field, it changes how you have to play defense. And because he's like having a wide out. I mean, he's not Gronk, because Gronk's 6'6", 270. You know, Jace is in that 6'3 and a half, 245, 50-pound range. But Jace can really run and accelerate and run double moves like a route, like a receiver. But then he's also very tough. So, you know, being able to match him up, whether you match him on a safety or a backer, what you're asking him to do, he can be a real nightmare because he can do so many things. And you know, the ability, again, a lot of tight ends can catch the ball and be short and drag. You got one that has verticality in the middle of the field. You have to represent, you know, for, you know, assume that those routes can be there. And it changes how you play defense, whether you run an over route, vertical route, flag routes, corner routes, double move. He got a double move corner and go the other day down the middle of the field, and getting him on those bodies is big. And the other guy, which I thought was huge in the game, who's tremendously growing from the Houston area, is Courtney Davis. And I go back to the receivers. Now, Courtney, is you talk about, he had 9 catches the other day. We moved him all around. Courtney's really becoming a big number one for us. He can really play.
It's Jimbo Fisher right here on ESPN 97.5. And that's quickly your defense. Donovan Wilson with a huge game. Alaka with a huge game. But talk about putting pressure. Are you getting the kind of pressure you want on the quarterback?
Not enough. That's one thing that we but note this week of things we have to do in some critical situations. We had a critical sack, dadgummit, and we could have really changed the game. We got a face. We had hands to the face on the defensive player. You know, we had that one right there. We have, in the last drive, which was very good fun, we had 3 15-yard penalties. We get a hands to the face, interference, and a daggum targeting by Donovan, who played outstanding, which it was targeting, and he's got to stop that. I mean, he wants to. He wants to be physical, you know, but you can't do that. But we have to, but you're right. Ability to affect the quarterback in those key situations. We did early in the game. We had some critical ones early, but I'm talking about when we're throwing it. I mean, they know they're going to throw it, and we got to rush. And we did a good job. At the end of the game, that's one thing that was a little disappointing. We got to get more pressure on the quarterback in that 2-minute situation.
Now, you guys are on a roll, but you got the bye week. Is it, do you like it, or would you rather keep on playing right now?
Right now, I'm glad we are. I just think we got to regroup because, like I say, they had some critical drops in the game. There's still some holes in our game, that which, you know, our kids are playing hard, but we got to clean up. And right now is a great time to assess. This week's going to be about us going back to the fundamentals, going back to the – making sure we're staying physical, but, you know, just our combo blocks. There's some things. One time, Jace, we had a quarterback run down on the goal, down the red zone, first drive, second half, we check out of him. Now, and Jace, we didn't combo the tight end and the tackle, getting up on that backer very good. And they got spacing, split us, and we didn't keep the leverage. And if we get that ball scores, there's another ball on the backside of our cutoff. Fundamentally, that we got to get cleared up, because a couple of those balls could have come out and we could score touchdowns. And making sure we have big picture things, but we get very, very detailed on some things, and which we have issues with, and on defense, how we got to play some things, and then on special teams, we still had a punt that came out. That punt shouldn't have came out. We shouldn't have took a shot like we did, and how we covered it, should have leveraged the ball better, and making sure we go back to those fundamentals this week and remind our guys we can get down the stretch and find it, because really the season just now starts, in my opinion.
We
put ourselves in a great situation. These are important games, but right now we put ourselves in a position that things matter. Yep. Now we have to go play good football.
Yep. What does the coach do during the bye week? Bahamas, or where are you going?
Oh, yeah, no. Coach was recruiting all day yesterday. I got out and hit the road yesterday. We're in work today, and we'll have practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and we'll be evaluating future opponents, breaking down that film, and we're also self-evaluating ourselves on the critical things individually as players that each individual player has to get better at. He'll have a list of things in which we have to continue to do better, and then some things he's done well that we want him to enhance. Our team, in our offense, defense, best team, we'll recognize we're getting all those things in place and making sure these practices are very efficient. We don't waste this off. We got to get better because, like I say, the margin for error is so little in this league, as you saw in the last few games. You got to fight for those inches and find the crumbs out there, and we got to continue to do that by how we get better this week.
Bahamas sounds more fun than that. I don't know. To me, Coach. All right, but that's why you're where you are and where I'm where I am.
You ain't got a 10-year contract, Granato. We don't know when you're gone.
No, I don't. Coach, we appreciate it. Congratulations on the win and this start to the season. Great stuff. We appreciate you hanging with us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
All right, there's Jimbo Fisher right here on ESPN 97.5. You're home for the Aggies. He He's serious. I wouldn't be that serious about it.
He knows that recruiting is kind of important in the SEC, getting good football players.
Yeah, but
you can't recruit from the Bahamas. So or can you?
You might. You do. How do you know there's no players there?
Instagram stories like, hey, wouldn't y'all love to be doing this? And then the player's like, I would love to. And then they realize, wait a minute. This doesn't have anything to do with me. No. I can't go do that. I got class.
Well, I mean, you can get your kids out. Take the whole team to the Bahamas.
Dale, do you feel like John's got that grinder mentality of a Jimbo Fisher?
No. He doesn't even stay 5 minutes after we done with this. He's out of here by 11:05 unless he's cut alive. Then he's out here by 11. No, he's out here by 10:59.
I stay till 11:02 sometimes.
He's out here at 10:59 unless he has to cut something, and then he's out of here by 11:03.
Well, there you go. See, that's a commitment.
He's not a grinder.
That's a commitment. All right.
He might venture on that app, but he's not.
Grind and grind and grind. Who watches games at night? Cool. Who's going to go? Who's going to the Astros game today? Me. Grinding.
Are you in the media seats?
No, I'm not in the media.
No, he gets they in don't... with the media seats, but then he.
Then what do you do with them?
Well, actually, I'm going to be in the Crawford boxes today.
Are you?
Yeah.
You have seats?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You want to be around dirty Boston fan?
Screw the Boston fans. Don't worry. If there's a fight up in the Crawford boxes,
there'll be more.
I know where that's coming from.
There'll be more Boston fans here than Houston fans there. I mean, Houston fans are showing up on road venues.
Houston fans are going.
They're showing up on road venue, but a lot of people are popping up, like, who live there, like, I am Astros fan now. I was Astros fan back in, you know, whatever. And that's fine. Wear your orange. Go out to those road games. I love it. I love seeing how many. At the Indians game, how many people were?
It was great. No, listen, as far as the Indians fans
Boston
here,
fans
there
travel.
Were no Indians fans at the game. No, but I saw five.
Yeah, but Boston fans travel. Well, more than travel, they also live everywhere.
Yeah.
So I think there'll be more Red Sox fans here than Astros
because
fans
they're,
here.
Yeah.
Because they're
carpetbaggers.
They're allowed carp. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, it's 7:33 ESPN.
Oh, when we come back, I want to tell you what one of, you know, the Trevor Bauer Pine Tar thing took off on my time. I had Trevor Bauer commenting to me directly, then Buster Olney got involved. I want to talk a little bit about that because one guy who's, I think, I don't know if he's from Boston or Dallas, commented on Houston Astro fans. And a couple, I want to get to the perception of Astros fans when we come back.
On the other side. But right now we're talking about Rich Drake. What about the perception of Rich Drake? What do you think that is out there?
Positive. Guy who rents houses. Guy who gets you the most money for what you... for your property that you're going to rent? I mean, that's what I think of him.
Well, I know, and because I put alcoholic on him before and some other
why
stuff.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
You don't know him like that?
No, I don't know why I did it, but it just happened.
Hey,
so
Lance,
I'm hoping
you're going to be doing those reads solo from now on. Sean said something. I don't know what happened.
Well, no, but he hasn't had a drink in a long time, so I'm happy for him. But because he's busy. He's busy right now renting out houses. That's what Rich Drake does. All right? So what I need you to do is call Rich Drake and get... Listen, why don't you just ask for Rich, okay? Because then... And his day will be ruined. Everybody calls him directly trying to rent out. Hey, listen, I've got other people that do that. But what they do is that they rent out your house. And they do that at an average of 17 days. And that's the key to this whole thing. Because if you want to move, have to move, want to get out of that house... Well, good luck selling it. See how long that'll take you. See how long it'll take you to get the price that you want for your house right now. And, oh, by the way, if you had any issues whatsoever during the flood, well, that's an even bigger problem. But Rich Drake is here, and he gets the house rented in an average of 17 days.
713-224-RENT. Call him today. Ask what your house will rent for. They'll give it to you within 24 hours. They'll tell you exactly what your house should rent for. And you can find out if it makes the most sense for you. 713-224-RENT or go to renterswarehouse.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 737-803-776, 737-803-776. We were talking about AJ and his response to Alex Bregman. For those of you just waking up, Alex Bregman tweeted out trolling Nathan Eovaldi, who's the starter for Boston today, when the Astros hit back-to-back-to-back home runs off of him. There's a video on Instagram of Bregman watching the three home runs back to back to back. And he said he was doing his homework, doing his studying. Okay, studying for the game today. It's a troll, and it's something actually that AJ has never heard of before. And the question was posed to him yesterday at the press conference, and here's his response.
You know, I obviously there's fun banter. You know, you go back and you hear the New York and the Boston in the New York series, you get the different tweets and the different Instagram posts, and it's all in good fun. And we have a sport full of great personalities. And there's a fine line. Yeah, is it disrespectful? No. If it crosses a line, if you have to question whether it crosses the line, it probably does. And so I don't look any further into that. We want guys to have their personalities, have their fun. Then you got to go out and back it up. If you are going to put yourself out there, you got to back it up a little bit. But this is all in fun banter and competition, and we're playing a baseball game against really good team in front of millions and millions of people. Let your personality shine a little bit.
Tyler, on the right.
Troll away.
Troll away. Troll away. AJ, at the beginning of it, he said, you know, this is the first time, and I've been a manager since, that I've asked that the word troll has been in a question. So that's a first.
I guess this generation.
That's this generation trolling. And Bregman was trolling. Hey, well, look at this shirt. I love this shirt. Not that special with a picture of Bregman's face on there.
What is that?
Well, didn't Trevor Bauer, or no, it wasn't Trevor Bauer. It was Mike Clevenger, said when asked earlier in the year.
Oh, that's right.
The Astros are not that special.
Yeah.
Not that special. That's a great shirt. That's a great shirt. So Julia Morales tweeted that out.
Pardon me? I've seen so many homemade Astros shirts. Like, no. The shirt game has really taken off thanks to the
Astros.
Has. They've really given them lots of.
Yeah.
Have you seen the one where it says Dream Crushers? And it's got a picture of the Astros staring, you know, one of their stares that it was made into a shirt, and it just says Dream Crushers, which I thought was pretty good.
Pretty good. Well, now you can, because you can sell shirts outside. I was at, you know, walking into the Browns game last week or the week before, whatever. There's like a. Like shirt salesmen every 10 feet, but it's Denzel or Ward, or it's a lot of Baker shirts, but you can't use the Browns logo name. You can't use any of that, but you can use guys' likenesses.
You can, unless they go after you, then you can.
Well, then you can, but you can't stand outside the stadium. They will go after you. They'll come after you if you got a Browns. If you use the Browns, any NFL
team. Yeah,
but
I mean, Baker could go after you, too.
But Baker's busy. Right, right.
Well, but it wouldn't, go do a Jordan thing. Thing and see how quick that. I'm sorry. Yeah, but watch it.
Yeah, right. No, right. Well, but look, not that special. They got Bregman's face on.
No, yeah, Bregman won't care about that. No. But like a Baker Mayfield who did his own documentary about himself.
Yeah.
Strikes me as the kind of guy
who would
protect his own likeness guy.
Yeah, either that or he'll love that people are, you know,
early on
expanding his brand.
Yeah, early on probably will, and then they'll jump
when you get to be Jordan and LeBron, that's different. But neither here nor there.
Is Alex Bregman the Jordan of baseball right now? Is he the Bregman? I mean, is Bregman the LeBron of baseball? Just clearly the greatest player and one of the greats of all time. He's there now, isn't he? I feel like he is.
Yeah. I kind of feel like he is, too. Is he...
I just want to start calling him the LeBron of... and then soon he'll be the Jordan
of baseball.
Is there
anybody... You know, Mookie Betts had a huge, huge year. And so did J.D. Martinez.
Mookie Betts will win the MVP. Who's the best player in baseball? I mean, you tell me. I don't know.
Well, but here's the thing about Bregman. Is that anybody break through, though, in the public consciousness as much as Bregman did? Because of some of the things that he said and done.
I think if you look back at last postseason and you carry it forward, if you look at the last 180 games, there's no question it's Bregman.
Yeah.
Because he really, what he did in the playoffs last year
really took him from being a nice little player for the Astros. The man, he's really building on things to, ooh, this guy's got some Sam Cassell in him. And if you've been around, you know what that means.
Yeah.
Werewolves.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this year, it's like, ooh.
No.
Ooh, he's one of the best in baseball.
Yeah. And clutch. Talk about clutch. All right. Well, your thing that you wanted to talk about, because we've got to catch up with Jim. We went long with Jimbo. We will do that on the other side. That story that you wanted to get to.
Yeah.
But right now, I got to get to Thrive Plus. DecideThrive.com. DecideThrive.com. If you're somebody like me and you're going to have a couple of cocktails during the game today, you are going to want to, if you enjoy watching your game with a couple of cold ones, nice, cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. It would be hypocritical for me to say, no, you shouldn't do that. Not only that, I think it would be stupid for me to say that. You got to start using a product called Thrive Plus, because guess what? Tomorrow's a work day and you want to feel your best for your work day. If you don't take these three capsules after your last alcoholic beverage or before you go to bed, you won't feel as good as you can possibly feel. If you don't feel at least 50% better the next day, the company will give you your money back. That's right. They will give you your money back. DecideThrive.com, DecideThrive.com. And if you order by 4 p.m. today, this Houston-based startup will put the product on your doorstep tomorrow. So you will have it in your hand tomorrow if you order by 4 p.m. today. Order it. Get it. If you're going to have some beers, you want to feel better the next day. And if you don't feel 50% better, they will give you your money back. DecideThrive.com, DecideThrive.com. Don't drink without Thrive Plus. DecideThrive.com.
Hey, guess what, kids? Tomorrow is the beginning of the Rockets season. Yet another chase for a championship. Last year, they came up just short. You all know the story. We all know about Chris Paul's hamstring, but he's recovered. They've added Carmelo Anthony, and your Houston Rockets are underway beginning tomorrow. I want to make sure that you guys get on out there. They've got a huge party that kicks off at 4:30. 4:30 is the liftoff party. The Rockets power dancers, DJs going on. They're going to give 3,000 bobblehead dolls. The James Harden MVP bobbleheads are going to the first 3,000 people who are in the door. So make sure that you get out there and get to the game early so you can be one of the first 3,000 to get the James Harden bobblehead. And guess what? Chris Paul, Carmelo, James Harden, all getting ready to scrap it out against the Pelicans, and Anthony Davis, one of the top big men in the league, until he rolls up against Clint Capella. Make sure that you follow your Houston Rockets all year. And don't forget, you can get individual tickets are still available for the game, and you can get season ticket packages and mini packages as well at Rockets.com. That's Rockets.com. The run for the championship starts tomorrow. Make sure that you go to Rockets.com for all your information.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Which t-shirt is more clutch, Jordan or LeBron? Coming up next.
Jordan shirts. What are you talking about? Jordan shirts are the GOAT shirts.
Love when Jimbo gets to talking football. He's super analytical, really knows his football. Love it.
Yeah, he doesn't give us just coach speak.
No. Speaking of which, is your dad coming on?
Oh, I got to check with old Larry. He had his, I don't think he is.
No?
Because he didn't call me. He usually likes doing this, but he had knee replacement surgery not last Thursday, but the Thursday before, and it is, you got to take some pain meds.
Yeah.
And he was on Green Street for the Cowboys. I'll find out how he's doing.
Yeah.
Find out if he recorded it and watched it or not. But I don't think we really need him to break down how good it was yesterday. The lowest offensive total. I'm looking at the NFL research notes that I get. Boy, they got a lot of good things they're saying about our Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson is now the current active leader for he's had an interception 8 straight games. He is the active leader in the NFL.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, that's
gotta be known for something.
The two teams combined for, well, the Texans were the big winners at 229 yards of offense. The Bills managed 216. Neither team even got to 230 yards of offense.
That's just great defense being played right
now. Maybe that's what it is, yeah. The Texans, that's their lowest total of total yardage since 2012. And by the way, 2012 is the season they went to the playoffs. They won a division in 2012, kind of like they're getting ready to do this year. Texans gave up, obviously, 7 sacks, which is on the high side. The Buffalo Bills committed 12 penalties, season high for them, for 104 yards. So they combined for 6 turnovers. They combined for 18 penalties. They combined for only 445 total yards of offense between the two teams. Good stuff. Good stuff. Deshaun Watson, we know he had his bad game. It's his second career game with 3 giveaways, 2 interceptions, and a fumble lost. His 61.6 passer rating was the 6th lowest in 12 career starts. According to Next Gen Stats, Watson has thrown 0 touchdowns and 4 interceptions under pressure this year. 2 interceptions under pressure versus Buffalo, pressured on 46.9% of his dropbacks in the game. Previously, against the Cowboys, they had their best of the season with 20.7% of the dropbacks were pressured. This one was damn near 50%.
Oh, bad, 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 bad.
Just terrible.
All right, let's get to the other story that you wanted to do.
Well, okay, so yesterday, Trevor Bauer, you know, John and I kind of flipped out when we saw the videos of the Boston Red Sox pitchers, Kelly and Barnes, clearly going to their arms to add grip, to add basically stick 'em, you know, that kind of grip to their hands, and it provides
grip better, so you can spin the ball.
So you can spin the ball. It's done a couple different ways. One can be pine tar. The other, from what I've been told, is used more frequently is sunscreen. And then when you add a little rosin to the arm where the sunscreen is, it basically turns almost into a glue, which you can go to, and it allows and provides that stick. I don't think there's any doubt Charlie Morton. I thought it was suspicious last year. I'm like, and Joe, was it Buck? Is Buck that was doing the games, right? Yeah. He was like, Charlie Morton keeps going to his mouth on the mound, and he's chewing a gigantic thing of gum. And I thought, ooh, that can't be legal. I kept waiting for Major League Baseball.
Well,
that's
a pretty good question, though. Since when is sunscreen? I mean, because players use sunscreen all the time, right? Since when is sunscreen illegal? Since when is bubblegum illegal? I mean, it's not like a foreign substance.
Yeah, it is. Well, not really. At night.
Well, but did you see at the beginning of the game? It was sunny.
There was no sun.
It was sunny.
And Trevor Bauer addressed this. Trevor Bauer started responding to my initial tweets where I tagged him. So did Buster Olney. Buster Olney wrote an article which I basically read that said, it's everybody in the league. It's you don't want to do this because then every player is going to get caught. You know.
Well, guess what? Then there's going to be more home runs, more offense because you won't be able to spin.
But here's what Trevor Bauer said. When you mix the two substances, it is completely illegal. It's a foreign substance that is not a natural substance. Once you mix rosin with sunscreen,
really?
It becomes.
Because I see rosin on the mound. Okay, there's rosin on the mound, and I see sunscreen because it's sunny out.
So now you're arguing for the Red Sox.
What if our guys are doing it?
I think our guys probably are doing it. And realistically, I know we made a big deal about Trevor Bauer. Realistically, I saw videos of Clayton Kershaw. There's a lot of guys who do it. The more that I read about this, this is baseball's little unwritten rule. And Trevor Bauer, who came off as a baby, is probably nothing more than saying, hey, I don't do this. Why do we allow this in baseball? He said they have technology that can analyze spin rate, and he said we know exactly when a guy is using pine tar because of the numbers because the numbers change drastically on spin rate, and he wants to get rid of it completely. Other baseball teams I think baseball just says this is one of the things we do. You know, their unwritten rules are not exactly endearing.
Do you think Stick'em is totally out of the NFL?
Oh yeah, Stick'em is. They use gloves.
Well, do you
now.
Think? Yeah, I know. But the gloves are sticky.
But the gloves are made with a substance that is it's non-slip, so they don't have to use Stick'em now because of the gloves. There used to be the oiling of the jerseys to make you more slippery. That's supposed to, it's like a the silicone or the Vaseline. I don't know if that still goes on or not. I know baseball is the biggest cheating sport. Like, they had a steroid. I mean, their whole steroid thing, basically, they were hitting 90 and 100 home runs a year per player. It was, you know, Mark McGwire killed families with line drive home runs and batting practice. He hit the back of the – he hit the upper deck, like above the upper deck, the back of the wall. We just saw some freakish monster things in baseball because of the steroid. Mm-hmm. And then Darrell Hamilton, rest his soul, told us, well, you guys aren't talking about the pitchers? And this is early on. This is in the early 2000s when we were talking to Ham. And then as we move forward, we realize, you know, Roger Clemens had his thing. And then all these, you know, Kevin Brown seems awfully suspicious in hindsight. A lot of guys did. And Boston got in trouble for the Apple Watches and stealing signs, doing everything you can. First of all, Boston is a cheating-ass town. We know that right off the bat. The New England Patriots are habitual line crossers to do everything they can to get an advantage. Deflating footballs, taping your signs. They had not the Deflategate's the only latest. They literally were filming another team's signs and deciphering at halftime. Mm-hmm. It's completely illegal. They got in big trouble for doing that. We know Boston as a city is going to, they are used to cheating and they are fine with it. I do, my guess is probably this is a known thing that a lot of pitchers do this and they're okay with it. I can tell you this, it was shocking to a lot of fans, myself included, yourself included. A lot of fans were like, what? This is, you're in plain sight. You're not even trying to, hide anything. Right. I don't think that's good for baseball. Your unwritten rules, I think it's actually very bad for baseball. And I think I'm interested to see how MLB Network and some of these groups handle this, if this gets out as something that needs to be commented on. Because a lot of people are tagged in the video that I shared that somebody else took. A lot of MLB Network broadcasters, a lot of, and I'm wondering if they're going to address this because I don't think it's great for your sport to have open. It's performance enhancing, right? You're anti-peds, which you should be, but this is a performance enhancing. If you can get a better grip, you can get tighter spin. That is a really big deal.
Yeah, no.
If you're gonna allow it, just say, hey, we're gonna change the rules where you're allowed to have a certain amount of pine tar out there.
That ain't happening. But they're not enforcing it either. So, but I don't see them saying, oh, it's okay to have pine tar out there.
Can you
think
of any other sport where this is allowed? Where a little bit of just skirting the rules is allowed?
Well, you know, before Deflategate, teams would warm up the footballs on the sidelines. Before Deflategate, this was a common practice. You would also take a little bit of air out of the ball so it felt good and you could actually grip it in cold weather. This was happening all of the time. You know, and then all of a sudden it was such a big deal because it was Tom Brady and it was New England that was doing it.
And they have a history of cheating.
Yeah. That's right. And so that said, people were doing this. It was a natural. I don't think, and scuffing up the balls, you know, which I don't, is not illegal in football, but they were doing it. Actually, they gave the balls to the home team, and the home team brought the footballs before
the kickers got to. Yeah. Yeah, they got to rough it up.
And you got to rough it up, and you got to rough it up in practice all week long because it was too slick. But yeah, I think there's little stuff that goes on with every team. Yes, in every sport. If you can gain a little bit of an advantage, you know, is holding a guy underneath the basket. You know, is that any different than pine tar holding guys from being able to jump, secretly being able and doing, you know, little stuff that is illegal in the game? No, I think that's not much different than using a little bit of pine tar.
There's no way you can doctor things like basketball and baseball. You have chances to steal signs. Like baseball lends itself to trying to get advantage, finding ways to get advantages. And that's why there's also policing of baseball with the hitting and, you know, you throw pitches because if you're stealing signs, there's issues. I can't, you know, football, that's a good one that you mentioned, but there's also, you know, you also try to get away with certain things, grabbing, holding. That's, you know, that's fine. That's either it's going to be called or it's not going to be called. I'm not sure in basketball. I mean, some would point to James Harden
bending
the rules with the Euro step is totally legal. It's the gather and step back, which looks like a travel, but it's been talked about by officials, and they say it's not a travel because he doesn't gather the ball. The ball is still in motion. You have to have the ball gathered before they start counting it. Unless they change the rules, what James does is not a travel. But some other stuff came up about Red Sox fans got really defensive. Everyone does it. Everyone does it. And they said, oh, great, Astros fans who've watched baseball for exactly 1 year. You know, there is a perception that the Astros fans are brand new fans and didn't pay any attention to baseball. And I think that's – and one guy on Twitter made the comment, I lived there since 2007, and they have never cared about the World Series. And they've never cared about baseball until they won the World Series. How accurate do you feel
That's totally inaccurate.
I thought the second half of the 2015 season, there was a growing sense of excitement.
Well, what are you talking about? What about 2004 through 6?
Well, no. I'm saying his point was since 7.
All right, 8:01. We're way behind. We got to take a break right now here on ESPN and save money.
By my good friends, Bill Advisors, I've been dealing with Veronica, as a matter of fact. I think we are going to change internet service. I don't like my internet service. I'm not getting the speed that I wanted to from AT&T. And I said, what can you do for me? And we've been looking at options that include spending a little bit more and getting a faster speed. I was checking. I said, see if they'll get extenders for my house. They don't want to budge on extenders. So you know what we do? This is where usually Bill Advisors, you just stay with your same company and they lower bills. They've done that for me. But this time, this is the other thing they do. They will go shop for the best prices and best service they can find. And what we found is there's another company that I can go with. It's not going to impact my DirecTV or my cell service, you know, and what I'm paying there. It's not going to affect the prices. So we're getting ready to switch, and I'm going to go with a different service for my internet, and I'm going to end up saving in total $15 per month for the first 6 months, and then it'll be like $10 a month after that. So my savings are going to be, it's going to be a really good savings, and I'm going to get much faster internet service. Let Bill Advisor work for you just like that. They can do it individually on a bill or in mass. All you have to do is text GO to 232323, and they will start working on your bills today and negotiating your bills down so that you get to new customer rates, and you'll save hundreds, if not thousands. BillAdvisor.com, text GO to 232323.